T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back to The Fan. Lori Rubenson here with you. And while the Yankees struggled against a lowly team this weekend, the Mets mostly took it to the Washington Nationals. They win big on Sunday, putting up 13 runs. To talk about the state of the Mets, who are never boring, we bring in Justin Toscano from The Record. Hey, Justin, how are you?
Hey, how's it going, Lori? Thanks for having me on.
I'm glad to have you. So, a few questions. We've got some online for some people from the listeners and the callers. But let's start with Javier Baez. And, you know, he's been so much at the center of everything going on with the Mets. What makes him great and what makes him frustrating?
That, I think, Luis Rojas combined both of those sentiments into one today in the perfect way by just saying that with how much Javier Baez chases, obviously everybody knows the numbers. He's got the highest strikeout rate of qualified hitters in baseball. And so Luis Rojas said with how much he chases, it's honestly incredible that he's still able to hit the way he does for power and hit as many home runs. And he's such a special talent. I think what makes him incredible is that he really can beat you in so many ways with that power on the bases, like we saw him scoring from first base in that Marlins doubleheader with his glove. I mean, he's been spectacular, and he hasn't really even played his natural position since Francisco Lindor came back. He can beat you in so many ways like that. He's one of the guys, one of the few in this struggling lineup this year that really can, because of that power, change the tenor of a game with the swing. And on the other hand, what makes him so frustrating is that when he does expand, on the days when his approach is not as fine-tuned as maybe the Mets would like it to be, it's not good. He had a 5-strikeout game in Miami shortly after being traded. And that's just kind of what I think kind of what you accept about him. I think the Mets know that at a player like that can improve, but that's teams know, that's what you're getting. You're getting the swing and miss. For the power, like, look, barring something crazy, he's going to end the year with over 30 home runs. And that's incredible for a shortstop. And especially the way the game is played and rosters are structured these days, that's really valuable to a team. So yeah, you've got really both ends of the spectrum, but I think when he's at his best, as he was today, 4-for-4, reaching base 5 times, hit a home run, he affects the game in so many ways. And that's not even counting, the obvious energy he brings to the clubhouse, to the dugout, especially alongside his buddy Francisco Lindor.
I know that with COVID, you guys are not in the clubhouse talking to the players in the same way that, we're used to having sports writers be able to go in there and engage. But do you have a sense, so you talk to him on Zoom, all of this. We know that Sandy Alderson walked in there after the thumbs down and basically Baez, Lindor, these guys, Pilar, apologized to fans. And Lindor, Baez came out and did the thumbs up gesture for a day. But in your opinion, does it feel like maybe that rift between, or the hard feelings that some of these players, it seems, Baez and Lindor in particular, were harboring for the fans, that this rift has gone away simply because you know, fans are cheering and they're, you know, they won a few games, or do you sense that that is still there?
No, yeah, I don't think it's still there. I've always thought that kind of the old adage applies, winning cures all. And so, look, like New York fans, I mean, they're going to boo. That's just the way it is. And people, guys who play here have to accept that. But I don't think there's any more that rift. I think they know and they understand, not that they learned a lesson last week, because, you know, you can debate the merits and how serious it was, whatever. I don't think they, you know, learned a lesson. I don't think it was that serious. But I do think that, look, they know that these fans are so passionate. And once, you know, once they came back from five down, or scored five in the ninth against the Marlins, the fans, even though it was, you know, not a packed house for that day game, were, you know, pretty excited about it. They were pretty excited through the rest of the homestand because the team was winning. And then, so they know. I don't think there's any rift there. I don't think there's any hard, you know, feelings from them back. I do think they're, you know, whatever, regardless of what they want to say, there were some hard feelings, you know, with the players, because look, they don't want to get booed. You have a guy like Lindor coming from Cleveland, a guy like Baez coming from Chicago, where, you know, oh, by the way, a team he was on snapped that, you know, drought that was over a century. And so these guys weren't used to getting treated, you know, given the New York welcome. They just weren't used to it. And so I do think, you know, there was maybe, if not hard feelings, a little bit of surprise. You know, they're a little taken aback just at how bad it had gotten, especially because they do feel like they're trying. They do feel like they're working hard. But look, winning cures all. So I feel like now I don't sense any of that rift, really. I think, if anything, like you said, we're not in the clubhouse, but if anything, I think they've kind of just put their heads down and they understand that to change that fan perception, you know, they got to win. And I think Francisco Lindor kind of put it best last week, you know, during that apology tour before that doubleheader, when he said, like, the players want to win, the fans want to win. So really, like, everybody's pulling in the same direction here. And I think they're closer to that direction, having won 8 of 9.
With all the attention that Javi Baez is getting, does it seem like Francisco Lindor in some ways has, I'm not sure if there's less pressure on him or just less attention on him, less focus on him since Baez has arrived?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I think when the year started, there was so much pressure on Francisco Lindor to come out and be this guy who could help anchor the lineup, to be this guy, to even lead the lineup. And if you look at his numbers, especially the past couple years, you know, he's not like some of the other offensive shortstops. Like, he's not Tatis, and he'll admit that too, that he doesn't have the power Tatis has. You know, he doesn't have the power Javi Baez has. He can run into some home runs, and he has had, you know, great seasons where he has put up those great home run totals. But I do think that having Javi Baez around, just by virtue of the impact bat in the lineup that's made the lineup deeper, it does take a lot of that pressure off Lindor. And if you notice, I mean, even after he got back, he didn't have a rehab assignment for that oblique injury. Now he's really starting to come around. And I think it's because he's seeing better pitches. He doesn't have as much pressure. It's not on him all the time to carry the offense. So I think there's a little bit, you know, just speculating here. I mean, he hasn't said it publicly, but there might just be a little bit of weight taken off his shoulders because Baez is there. And then, yeah, I think you have the obvious. I think something that might be overlooked is that I really think the swagger Javi Baez brings and the energy he brings is really good for this team in that way too, because Francisco Lindor is obviously, you know, a leader. His teammates and coaches really laud the way he leads. But I think with Javi Baez around, with another guy who brings high energy, so much of it isn't left to Lindor. I think there's, you know, there's an even balance there. And so I do think that, you know, maybe the arrival of Javi Baez, including them being good friends, has allowed Lindor to relax a little bit. He certainly does seem a lot more relaxed, you know, at the plate. And it does seem like, in general, even if he isn't getting the results in a certain plate appearances, his at-bats look night and day from when they did, you know, 3 months ago.
Talking to Justin Toscano, covers the Mets for the Record, the Bergen Record. And one question that I've gotten from a few folks on Twitter wanted me to ask you about is about Mets manager Luis Rojas. And a couple different fans, they asked it differently, but wanting to know if you think Rojas's fate is tied to how the Mets finish this season? Or essentially, is it almost not tied to the record, because I think we all think there will be changes at the top, whether that's a new president of baseball operations, certainly a new general manager, all of that. Will there be just changes to the manager with changes at the top?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I think a couple weeks ago, I probably would have said, or a few weeks ago even, I probably would have said that his fate is solely tied to the team's postseason, whether they make it or not, how the season ends. Now, I think I still lean that way, that his fate really is tied to if they make the postseason. You know, you could see him getting the option picked up. If they don't, somebody's got to be, the fall guy for a team that people feel has severely underperformed expectations. But now I do think that with changes at the top, the interesting thing could be that a new president of baseball operations might want his own guy.
Right.
But the interesting thing about this is that I think Luis Rojas, the baseball lifer, obviously his dad was, a great manager, and is still in the game. He comes from a baseball family. So you never know. That new guy sometimes, especially with a year left on the contract, might just like to kick the tires on it and see how it goes. But I think in terms of where I lean right now, I do think that just the way sports go and the business side of it, that it does seem like his future is probably more tied to what the team does and in this final month. Fair or not, like with all the injuries, with, guys underperforming, I just think that's the way it goes. And there's some accountability to be had, with the manager, the front office, and things like that. So I do think it is more tied to that right now.
In a team of characters and interesting, we were talking about Javi Baez, and then there's a situation with Lindor. There's the personality of Pete Alonso, the intensity of Jeff McNeil. With all of that, there is Jonathan VR, and VR is like this, he's such an interesting player in that I find it stunning to watch him. I watch him at bat, I watch him in the field, and for somebody who obviously must be apparently a smart player in order to do that, how do you explain that, just the lack of concentration or focus sometimes on the base paths and these, brain cramps that he gets running the bases?
I don't know, because it's funny. Jonathan VR is the biggest baseball version of the no guy. Like, you're just like, you just don't know what's going to happen
like
next
to
him.
The guy is taking a 3-point shot and you're like, no. Oh, it went in. Okay.
Exactly. I totally think it has to go. I mean, look, his teammates call him El Caballo Loco, the crazy horse, and for good reason. And I think a lot of that, sometimes it just looks like when he gets on the bases, he's thinking five steps ahead. And sometimes that's a very good thing. Like we saw, in Philly when Rhys Hoskins was, dogging it and slow to get the ball behind first, VR went from first to home on an infield single, essentially. And so, but sometimes you get the play like in yesterday's doubleheader where he gets on base, it's all grand and merry, and then he just gets caught leaning a little bit.
Happened. The ball was hit behind him. But at that point, then get caught in a rundown to see if, I believe it was Nimmo behind him, the trail runner, can get to second. And instead, he just sort of, pulls a VR and lies down on the base path.
Yeah. I was really surprised, because the conventional move, like you said, is just to keep running out until the guy can take the extra base. But I think to me it looks like, it's so funny because he's this juxtaposition of this super smart player who also has these super boneheaded plays, and it's got to be something where it looks like he's so smart that he thinks like steps ahead, or he's always thinking about his next move. And then sometimes he just maybe loses the moment, because some of those pickoffs, they've got him dead to rights. They're not even close.
Yeah.
So I think, with a struggling offense, I think they'll take his, 18 home runs, I guess, if it comes with five or six pickoffs, as long as they're not I think he had one earlier this year, if I'm not mistaken, that was at third base. And so, I mean, as long as they don't pop up in the absolute most wrong moments, I think they'll just be laughable moments until then.
One other player person that's popped up on social media people wanted me to ask you about, and it seemed like it was a little bit of a wacky situation today, is Mets fans, of course, wanting a Jacob DeGrom update. What happened with DeGrom?
Oh, yeah. So Jacob DeGrom.
I saw the video of it, and it looked bizarre, but explain it to people.
Yeah. So basically, the entire weekend, we have asked Jacob DeGrom when he's coming to the dugout, you know, if he wants to talk. And he'll smile and say no and laugh about it. And I just think he really likes, you know, he's got a great sense of humor. So he really likes joking with us and giving us a hard time. So today, it looked like he was walking toward us, and then he hopped the little fence down the left field line and then kind of just ran into the tunnel and kind of dodged us that way. So that's all fun and games, no hard feelings. But, yeah, the update is that he it looked like he was throwing out to 100-plus feet today in his throwing progression, playing catch. And I think Jeremy Hefner a couple days ago said that they want him to get out to 120 to 135 in that feet in that progression before he can throw off a mound. So throwing off a mound would be that next logical step for him once he does reach that 120, 135, which could be, you know, sometime within the next few days conceivably. But a couple days ago, Jeremy Hefner would kind of ask if DeGrom was going to pitch this year. Like, obviously, everybody knows the calendar right now and where it stands. Just said, you know, he doesn't know. The Mets obviously would like to get him out there. They think there's a benefit in having him out there, even if they're, you know, out of contention at that point, which right now it looks like they, you know, might be still fighting when he can come back. But it's just going to be a matter at this point of, if he experiences any sort of a setback, his season's over.
Under the not experiencing a setback timetable, and I won't hold you to this pure speculation, but here we sit, and if I look at the calendar today, Labor Day, Monday, September 6th, aren't we, you know, what are we talking about? You know, sort of a best case scenario, is he coming back third week in September?
Yeah. Originally, after he was shut down for the 2 weeks again, so after they continued the shutdown because they didn't see enough improvement to clear him last month, I had heard that the best case scenario was probably mid-September. But as we look at the calendar now, I think that throwing progression, they've taken that so cautiously because he hasn't, you know, he hadn't thrown for so long. Obviously, it hadn't pitched for so long that, yeah, I would say the best case scenario right now is looking like at least the third week of September. I mean, because he hasn't really even thrown off a mound yet. Now, the one thing to remember with that third week of September is that he could theoretically get there because, you know, at this point, they're probably not going to be able to get him stretched out to a full six innings, you know, immediately with a full rehab stint. So he might have a rehab start. Or maybe two, and he could just be a guy who pitches 3-4 innings to start for them, and they piggyback, you know, with somebody else,
sure.
And then keep stretching him out that way. So I think, but I really think that at the soonest, I mean, you know, the third week of September right now, like I said, I was told, you know, middle September would be best case, but now that's been pushed back a little
bit. All right. So last one before I let you go is, also had a number of Mets fans, I'm sure you saw this, not happy that Luis Rojas rested both Lindor and Baez, two of their better players, in the second game of the doubleheader yesterday. And did it seem odd to you that both guys were rested in the same game? Like, why not rest one in one game and one in another and spread that out? And is that something that is coming from the top, or is that a Luis Rojas decision?
Yeah, that seemed really odd to me. I was going to say that exact same thing, regardless how you phrase the question, because I do think that the thing with, I mean, the Nationals, you play to win every game and you don't punt them, but I think with sitting Baez and Lindor in that second game, the Mets theoretically almost like punted that one. I think
yep.
The Nationals are a bad enough team that you can sit one of them one game and one of them the other and still have a good enough lineup to beat the Nationals. So that's what I would have done personally. And the weird thing about it was I remember Luis Rojas saying last night that there was a certain point in the first game where the Mets thought that Baez and Lindor would play the second game too, both of them. So they were kind of like playing it by ear. But I would say, like, why not just go, and I'm no expert or doctor, but or I would say why not just go into the day knowing that you've got to sit one game, one the other. You know you have two more games in the weekend and then the Miami road trip. So that's what I found so curious about it. But I do think it comes from more of the top. I mean, it's more of a collaborative effort, but, you know, from the top down, and then the performance staff, all the doctors and trainers, I think, are the ones who really provide the recommendations, because I can't really just knowing Luis Rojas, I mean, he is a baseball lifer. He is adapted to the new age game, but he still, you know, he loves the traditional game in many senses. And I just can't see any manager wanting to sit his, you know, his middle infield, especially a middle infield that is, has been raking recently. Both of them in a crucial game, in a stretch where you really need to win every single game.
And your job's on the line. So it does seem like that probably came right from the top. I don't think the manager would want to do that. Justin Toscano from The Record does a great job covering the Mets. You should be following him in the newspaper as well as online. Appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Lori. Thanks for having me on.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.